You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue this morning with our identity statement. And if you've been a part of our gatherings in the past, you'll remember that we have referred to our Savior as Jesus. Well, Jesus throughout the scriptures has two names that are often associated with it, Jesus and then Christ. And Christ was the title, if you will, of Messiah. And it was what the people of Israel, the children of Israel, were looking forward to, the Christ coming. The Christ's name was Jesus. Jesus came, Jesus Christ. So when we say Jesus Christ, we're saying Jesus Messiah. Another way we could say it is Jesus King or Jesus Lord. And so this morning I've changed things just a little bit because it's through the cross that we find out that Jesus is not just a man, but we find out that Jesus is the Christ in our lives as well. Jesus is the Christ. All the prophecies before. So you'll notice here in the past, it's been, I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. But it's through the cross that we find out that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. And so this resurrection Sunday morning, I changed it. It's a small thing, but it means the world to us and the plan that God has for each of us in our hearts. So let's go ahead and do our identity statement. Some of you may want to keep your eyes open that have memorized this in the past because it's hard for me to switch Jesus and Christ. So I'm going to have my eyes open and looking at this as we do our identity statement together just to remind me that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of the world. Let's do this together. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus Christ has done for me. Okay, hold on, Sam. I got to back up. I messed it up already. All right. Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, and our Lord. Let's do that again. I am not what's been done to me, but what Christ has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Christ has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Christ, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Beautiful, thank you. And on this Resurrection Sunday morning, we call it Easter, and we're reminded that Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again. And for over a century, there was a greeting that was used on Easter morning, on Resurrection Sunday morning, between those who were the brothers and sisters of Christ, the family of God. And that greeting had someone start off by saying, "He is risen," and the response was, "He is risen indeed." All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to say, y'all are going to respond to me, "He is risen indeed." And then we're all going to stand up and we're going to give each other that greeting. All right, so the initiator, "He is risen." And then the response, "He is risen indeed." Let's try that one more time, a little bit slow on the uptake. "He is risen."
"He is risen indeed."
Very good. Okay, everyone stand up. Greet somebody this morning. "He is risen." "He is risen indeed." "He is risen indeed." All right, take a seat. Thank you all so much. Up and down. The past 2 weeks, we have talked about expectation. We've talked about disappointment. And then this morning, restart. And there were those moments in the disciples' lives where they were following Jesus and their expectation was he was the Christ. And the way that the Christ picture in their mind, the Messiah, was coming to rid Israel of all of the external pain that they had been experiencing at the hand of Rome. They were expecting Jesus, the Christ, to come and in a military way to kick out those who had oppressed them, to get rid of that pain and that suffering. And yet Jesus' message over and over again is, victory not over through power, but victory coming from underneath through the power of love, the power of giving oneself as a sacrifice for one's friends, laying one's life down. Jesus overcame through the spiritual power of love inside of him and overcame things. But it was hard for the disciples because they had over 1,000 years of expectation. What is it going to look like when the Messiah finally comes? They had the law and they had the prophets. They had all of these promises, all of these hopes, and all of these dreams. Their expectations were, this is what it's going to look like. They were looking through a lens that they had received. And Jesus, as they're looking through that lens, caused them to step back at different times and be a little bit frustrated. I want to specifically focus in this morning on one character who experienced what I would say is the restart in his life and his perspective of who God is. The word restart just simply means to start anew. Have you ever started something new in your life? It can be exciting to start something new, but it also can be a little bit uncertain, a little bit shaky when you're beginning something new. You're starting a new job in a position that you're at, starting a new life in a new state, starting a new family, you're starting life in a new community. There are all these different ways within our relationships on the outside and our makeup on the inside that come into play when we step into a new space that God is calling us to step into. But it's a part of our growing up process. It's a part of God revealing his love to us as we walk one step at a time. We find ourselves in new places. Sometimes new challenges. Sometimes stretched and pulled in different ways we've never been stretched and pulled before. Have you ever gone from one job to another job? And at first your thought is, okay, this is a step up in the world. Maybe it was a step up financially. Maybe it was a step up within a position, within a company. And then you got there into that new position and you found that there were some more demands on your time, maybe more demands of your creativity. Maybe just people looked at you and started to treat you a little bit differently than the way you had been treated before. Sometimes that fresh start, that new start, causes us to step back and say, this is hard. This is not easy. Growth is never easy. Growth always requires a little bit of a challenge, a little bit of creativity, a little bit of chutzpah, a little bit of, I'm going to have that grit. I'm going to buckle down and I'm going to be true to where I am. But in those moments of fresh starts, of new beginnings, there can be that uncertainty. And for the disciples, certainly there was. I want to fast forward. Resurrection Sunday takes place for the disciples. They're all holed up, hiding. They are trying to stay out of the limelight because their Messiah, the picture they had, the filter that they were looking, the lens that they saw Jesus through had been destroyed and broken, the one they had followed. And they're not sure what to think about life anymore. If you ever followed a particular path, maybe even following God, following Jesus in your life, God said, I'm supposed to go in this direction. But then you get there and this doesn't look like I thought it was supposed to look like. It doesn't feel like it was supposed to feel. A little bit uncertain on the inside, I'm uncertain on the outside. And sometimes, as a man, I'm not supposed to tip my cards and reveal my vulnerability. I'm not supposed to let everybody know that maybe I'm tired and I need to let somebody else drive before I hit the curb. I have those moments in my life where I'm like, no, I got this. And what do? I scratch my rims, you know? We all have those moments in our lives where we're not willing to be vulnerable and honest with where we are and what's going on in our lives. The disciples were very honest. But let's fast forward almost 50 years. And let's take a look at one of the disciples, Peter. Almost 50 years after Christ rose from the dead. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, would you all read this with me? These are Peter's words referring to the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection in Peter's life. So he's had a lot of time to look back, a lot of time to have that filter, to have that lens that he looked at Christ through and all of a sudden was broken and destroyed, fell apart for him because of the disappointment of his Messiah not living up to what he thought Messiah was supposed to be. He had a lot of time to reflect and to allow God to give him a new way to see things, to frame the reality of Christ's love, unconditional, sacrificial, other-centered love, and how that worked in his life. Read this with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let us give thanks to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Resurrection. This fills us with a living hope. On that resurrection Sunday, before the ladies went to the tomb to prepare Christ's body, there was anything but hope in the eyes, in the mind, and in the heart of Peter and his friends. Literally, they locked themselves in a house and were hiding because they weren't sure if the Roman soldiers were going to come and take them away to be crucified next. Because that's the way Rome worked. One person stepped out of line, the whole family, the whole village, the whole tribe was next for crosses. They had seen it happen before where thousands of crosses were lifted up and they saw their brothers and their sisters or countrymen crucified. Disappointment, brokenness. A couple ladies, before the sun is coming up, they run to the tomb. What do they find at the tomb early resurrection Sunday morning? They find that the tomb is empty. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, that God is rewriting. What does it mean for Christ to be Christ in their life? They find that Christ is not there. The angel asks the question, why do you look for the living among the dead in a tomb? Why are you here in a place where God would not stay? God would visit, and in a moment of solidarity with us in our lives, as we have our moments of entering into a tomb, our darkest time, our time of most shaking and uncertainty. But who do they find at the tomb? Not the risen Lord, but they find an angel sitting there. And the question is posed, why are you here? That word is taken back to Peter and the other disciples. And in that moment of disbelief, resurrection morning, we come and we gather and there's that hope that Christ has risen. We have that promise in each of our hearts and our lives that we too will rise with Christ one day. Peter says that there is a gratitude in us. Let's read that again. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let us give thanks to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why is Peter encouraging his friends, his brothers and sisters, the body of Christ to respond with thanksgiving? Well, for the early believers, 50 years or so after Christ had risen from the dead, there was intense persecution, unlike they had not faced up until that point. If you identified as I follow Jesus the Christ, then you were a marked man or a marked woman. You had an X on you, and that X said, you don't get to trade in the marketplace. You don't get to do business because you're one of them. They're the instigators. They're the troublemakers. Those who were in power at that moment looked at those who said, Lord Jesus Christ, as they are coming against the power of Rome, and they are to be eliminated. removed from the equation. Whenever there was a problem within culture, there was a scapegoat, and it was the Christians. It was the followers of Jesus. Peter, in his letter, says, let's give thanks to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's getting us in trouble right now. Because there's something that each of us can experience in our hearts and know today beyond a shadow of a doubt that will carry us through into the future. Even when we go through those valleys of the shadow of death in our lives, we can say, I fear no evil. Peter and his friends, they had faced evil and knew what evil looked like when somebody looked at them and said, are you a Christian? Because I'm not going to sell you bread in the marketplace. Are you a Christian? We don't have anything here for Christians. He goes on, because of his great mercy, he has given us new life by raising Jesus Christ from the dead, resurrection. This fulfills, or rather, this fills us with a living hope. This morning, I just want to pause. I want to give each of us an opportunity to be filled with a living hope. To touch that place inside of our hearts where God lives and resides. And where that living hope can grow from just small little spark into something bigger. Now we have to remind ourselves that there are moments in our lives when we find ourselves maybe not at the restart point, maybe not on the other side 60 years after the restart and everything has been reframed. We have a new filter that when we look at the Christ, we're looking at it through the hope that we have inside of us, because in a moment in time in our lives, we may find ourselves asking the question, have I followed Jesus, who I thought was the Messiah, for 3 years in vain? And has it all just fallen through my fingers, and was it a waste? Again, I'm a white male, and I'm not supposed to be vulnerable. I'm supposed to have it together. I'm not supposed to tip my cards. But I've had those moments in my life, and not too distant past, where I have come up to a situation or circumstance and I've said, right now I'm struggling with hope in this situation. I'm not sure about that living part inside of me, because it feels more like the hope is dead inside of me. And I'm more uncertain than I am certain in a situation. But what did Peter do along with the disciples? They waited and they saw God began to bring hope into their hearts in a way that they had not experienced hope before. The resurrection was not alive and well and animating them in their lives. They were uncertain of where they were. Did the words of Christ come back to them early on in Jesus' ministry? His statement. Read this with me, John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. One more time. I am the resurrection and the life. In that moment, they had seen the life go out of Christ. But 3 days later, they got word that the life had come back in a new way. Y'all ever heard this, the saying, the phrase, seeing is believing? There's those moments where I really want to see it. I really want to see it. And I'm waiting to see it. And I'm waiting to see it. And I'm waiting to see it. I wonder if Jesus was waiting as well for his friends to see it. I wonder if Jesus the Christ, the risen one, our Lord and Savior, was patiently waiting with James and John, Andrew, Matthew, Peter, that rock that God had said, I'm going to build my church on. I wonder if Jesus was waiting for that process of the resurrection and the hope of the resurrection and that new life that I have brought into their lives, waiting for that to grow. I want you to sit with that for a moment. Jesus the Christ waits for the lens, the way that his disciples had seen him and seen the world around them, was waiting for that to come back together, was waiting for some healing and some restoration in their lives. Sometimes we forget that there was a process, and it was an individual process in each of their hearts that God was working. Each of the 12 disciples, all the ladies, there was a big old passel of ladies who supported Christ financially through his ministry. Jews, Greeks, Romans, they were all waiting. And in that time of waiting, God was knitting back together a new picture, a new understanding, a new way of being in the world as a result of Jesus being the resurrection and the life. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Let's try that again. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. There are those moments in our lives. Sometimes it feels very, very long. When I'm going through that process of allowing the picture of who Christ is and the promises that Christ has given me in my life, I'm allowing those to come together and to change and to heal after I've been disappointed and I've been hurt and I've been frustrated. But in my life, I've experienced time and time again those moments that I have chosen, I will embrace resurrection life. No matter what my circumstance, no matter what that moment is bringing into my life or the absence of something in my life that I really wish was there, when I come back and I say, I embrace the resurrection life of Christ that's inside of me. In time, just as Peter was able to say a couple decades later that everything that took place at the cross, the resurrection, all of that pain, disillusionment, frustration, hurt, sorrow, was worth it, because it worked in him a hope that he didn't have before that moment, and a confidence that he could face whatever he needed to face as he walked with God in his life. He embraced the resurrection. We're going to read this one more time together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let us give thanks to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Resurrection. This fills us with a living hope. This morning, let's allow that hope to grow. Let's allow that hope that may be alive in you in this moment to take the shape of words, of actions, of a lifestyle, who you are and how you live, your way of being in the world. Allow that resurrection life and that resurrection power to move us and to direct us in our lives. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. May his hope arise in us this morning. Let's all stand. If it's hard for you this morning to say, I embrace the resurrection life, it's okay. There's times in our lives when it's hard and it's a struggle to say, this is who I am and this is where I'm going. But sometimes when we're with friends, when we're with family, we find support and we find encouragement to be able to go places we weren't able to go before. We find hope and we find health and we find life in ways we weren't able to find before. So together, would you join me? I embrace resurrection life. I embrace resurrection life. I embrace resurrection life. I embrace resurrection life. Creator God, we thank you so much for our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And I thank you that that living hope is alive deep down inside. We ask you to still the noise, the disappointments and the hurt, the pain. We thank you, Jesus, that just as you waited for your disciples to be able to catch their breath and to receive some healing and some restoration in their lives, and then you revealed yourself to them in big ways, we thank you that you'll also do that with us. And we trust that your goodness is still alive and well in us and through us in our world today. Thank you for these moments together. And we do embrace the resurrection life of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Happy Easter.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.